Rukalayana Shashvatam. It is for this reason that all the great learned scholars of the Absolute Truth and all the great incarnations of the Lord have explained that this is a place of misery. Whoever we are, we will not be spared from the wrath of material energy. We have no choice. The body has been created in such a way that it must suffer and be destroyed. And to the extent we are under the conception we are this body, we must suffer. To the degree we have this sublime realization that we are the eternal soul, although experiencing the suffering, we can rise above it. Just see. The insignificant child within the womb is being murdered by its own mother. This is the world we live in. Every year in this world, for every 4 children born, there is one that is murdered within the womb. So even at this stage, when we are in the most utterly helpless condition of life, fully dependent on the kindness of our mother to survive, 1 out of 4 chances, if you take birth in this world, you'll be killed by your own mother. And what can the child do to protect itself? Helpless. And the fatality amongst children is growing every day. Disease, unexpected accidents, earthquakes. Recently in Iran, in the Soviet Union, hundreds and thousands of people were killed by the shaking of the earth. I was told that perhaps 500,000 people were just killed just a few weeks back by a strong wind in the form of a cyclone in Bangladesh. Everyone was living their ordinary happy lives moments before this unexpected disaster took place. I was just speaking to someone from Jaipur, very wealthy family, very religious also. And the eldest brother, who was leading the family in the absence of the father, he was on his way to Mathura to celebrate Janamashtami on the very day of Janamashtami. And on the way, his car crashed by someone else's fault, and he left this world. Who would have expected such a thing? And even the greatest, most powerful leaders. John F. Kennedy had the greatest army behind him. The whole CIA, the FBI, everyone was behind him. But at the least expected moment, while waving to his followers, his body was destroyed. His millions of dollars, his highest position on the planet Earth, all of his defense, all of his security could not protect him. And similarly, a few days ago, perhaps the most influential, definitely the most well-known international person in all of India, out of over 800 million people in this country. Materially the most powerful, influential, and well-known person. At the least expected moment, he had to leave this body. Maharaj Yudhisthira, when asked, what is the most wonderful thing in all the creation? He said, everybody is seeing all around death. And yet everyone is so steeped in illusion and ignorance that we are all thinking, it will not happen to me. Maybe sometime long in the future. Therefore, let me enjoy while I still have time. This is Maya. So this beautiful story of the narration of the life of the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj is very important because it applies to us. And the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj perhaps more than anywhere else is directly pointed to each and every one of us. The story begins in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Maharaj Yudhisthira is speaking with Srila Narada Muni. This takes place at the Rajasuya sacrifice that was being performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira. And at that sacrifice, there was a very envious personality, a demon of the name Shishupal, who could not tolerate Krishna being given the most prominent seat in this international yajna. So he began to blaspheme him with so many cruel and harsh words. And all the people around were ready and willing to kill him, but Krishna said no. And then Krishna with his Sudarshan Chakra sliced off his head. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, right before his eyes, he saw the light of the soul come from Shishupal's body and enter into the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Which means he attained liberation. So Yudhisthira was asking, why is this? He was a demon. He was a blasphemer. He was a rascal. Liberation is something that great yogis strive for through tapasya and cultivation of knowledge and meditation for hundreds of lifetimes. And Narada Muni began to explain how Krishna is equal to everyone. It is interesting because before this discussion, Maharaj Parikshit was asking Shukadeva Goswami, if Krishna is equal to everyone, why does he kill the demons and protect the devotees? So Shukadeva was narrating this story in response. How Narada Muni was describing fortunate Shishupal was that 24 hours a day he was constantly thinking of Krishna. Krishna is so pure, he is so transcendentally merciful, that anyone who thinks of him will become purified. Om pavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmare kundarikakshan sadayavyantarasuchi. Purified or unpurified, when we remember Krishna, we become purified. And because Shishupal remembered Krishna to such a degree, Narada Muni exclaimed that he's better than me. My heart is not so fixed in the consciousness of Krishna as Shishupal. And then he began to describe how the Lord is equal to everyone. How everyone is dear to the Lord. And how whatever Krishna does is for the well-being of all living beings. Then he described the story of two gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, whose name were Jai and Vijay. And the four Kumaras were coming to visit Narayan. But the gatekeepers, they were thinking that these children, without clothes, hardly 4 years old, they had no right to enter into the realm of the highest realization of rendering personal service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they told them, you go away and come back when you grow up. But the four Kumaras, in their hearts, they knew the plan of the Lord. Therefore, in a pastime of great anger, they cursed these two men. And as the cursing was going on, Lord Vishnu himself came to the scene. And he said to the four Kumaras, please do not curse them. They are my devotees. I am responsible for whatever my devotees do. So if you must curse someone, curse me. To atone for my devotees' offense, I am even willing to chop off my own arms and legs. But since the curse has already been spoken, it must come true. So Jai and Vijay took three births as demons. When their souls fell to this world through Kashyapa and his wife Diti, there was great disasters taking place everywhere. And the two great asuras, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, were born. As we know, Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Varahadeva. Hiranyakashipu, his older brother, was infuriated by this. Diti and all the family members were plunged in grief at seeing the death of their relative. And Hiranyakashipu vowed revenge, that it is Vishnu that has killed our brother and our son and our friend, and therefore he will pay with the blood of his life. I guarantee you that I will sever his head and drink his blood in the vengeance of my brother. After pacifying the Rakshasas in this way, he sent his Rakshasa armies to the earth. He explained that the Brahmins and the devotees are always engaged in performing sacrifice to Lord Vishnu. If they are no longer alive, Vishnu will have nothing to live for, therefore he will die. Vishnu lives only for the love and the offerings of his devotees. So therefore, you go down to the earth and you go throughout the universe and you kill the Brahmins and drink their blood, destroy their sacrifices, contaminate their arenas of puja, kill the cows, destroy the scriptures. So in this way, the Rakshasas went down and they performed great havoc throughout the universe. At this time, Hiranyakashipu decided that in order to get the suitable power to conquer all directions, he would have to satisfy Lord Brahma and get benedictions. So Hiranyakashipu went to the Mandara mountain. And there he stood on the tips of his toes and raised his arms. And for 1,000 celestial years he did not eat. He did not drink. He did not even move his body in any way. during this time of 1,000 celestial years, an anthill was formed around his body and the ants ate away all of his flesh. But due to his great mystic power, he was able to maintain his life through his bones. And he gained such great power that flames started to shoot from the top of his head and scorch all directions. At that time, the demigods, they approached Lord Brahma in fear of their life. Lord Brahma came down. In reciprocation to the great sacrifice of Hiranyakashipu, he sprinkled water on his head from his sacred pot, and Hiranyakashipu was given a new body that was inconceivably invincible and stout and strong. He asked Lord Brahma for the benediction of immortality, but Lord Brahma explained that even I am not immortal. So Hiranyakashipu asked for the benedictions, then grant me I will not be killed on the land and the water and the sky, either inside or outside, by any man or animal or Gandharva or Charana or demigod, by any weapon, by anything living or not living. At either day or night, Lord Brahma gave him these benedictions. And therefore, Hiranyakashipu thought by his own mental and physical prowess he had become immortal, undefeatable. Now, during the time when he was performing this tapasya, the demigods were thinking that now is our chance. They gathered their armies together and destroyed the armies of all the asuras. They captured Hiranyakashipu's palace, and they took, led by Indra, his own wife, Kayadu, as a prisoner. She was crying and screaming, "Please do not take me away." But they forcibly dragged her. At that time, Narada Muni came and he said, "Why are you taking this innocent woman? What has she done? A woman is never to be treated in this way." And they explained that this woman, she is good. She has done nothing. But the child of Hiranyakashipu is within her womb. Therefore, we will hold her prisoner till he is born. Then we will destroy him. Narada Muni explained that this child is a Mahabhagavat. He is a great devotee of the Lord. Upon hearing this, Indra and all the demigods offered their respectful obeisances to the child in the womb, circumambulated him. And Narada Muni took the wife of Hiranyakashipu to his own hermitage. While there, Kayadu, very grateful to Narada Muni for his kindness, she became his humble servant. And Narada Muni each day would explain the absolute truth to her. Prahlad Maharaj, hearing this from within the womb, became purified by the mercy of his spiritual master. And when he was born, he was constantly immersed in the thought of Krishna. It is described that when he was a young child, he would have visions of Krishna, and he would run to him. Tears would fill his eyes, and he would cry in ecstasy of love. His hairs would stand on end. His limbs would tremble. And he would cry out very loudly the name of God. Even from his earliest childhood years, he cared nothing for playing games. He cared nothing for mundane friendship. He was not attracted by sports. He was not attracted by the affection of the elders. He was simply engrossed in glorifying Krishna and remembering him. So when Hiranyakashipu returned, due to the influence of his association, his wife had forgotten the instructions of Narada Muni. But Prahlad was a pure devotee of the Lord. So when he was young, he was sent to the Gurukul, the school of Shanda and Amarka, who were the two children of Sukracharya. And while there, Prahlad Maharaj was taught mundane education as well as the higher, more sophisticated forms of diplomacy. After he was very well groomed and educated in the school, his teachers, they brought him before his father. Hiranyakashipu asked him, after taking his beloved child upon his lap, "Can you tell me, Prahlad, what is the best thing that you have learned in school?" Prahlad was very straightforward. One of the qualities of a devotee is he is very honest and straightforward. And he is also very fearless. He is not concerned with the consequences that will come upon himself. He is only concerned with presenting the truth. Why does he present the truth? Because it pleases Krishna. When a devotee speaks, he doesn't speak in his own defense. When a devotee speaks, he does not speak for his own glorification. Irregardless of the consequences, a devotee speaks, acts simply to please Krishna. Prahlad was standing face to face with the most powerful Rakshasa in all the universe, who had conquered even Indra and was sitting upon his throne. And when asked, "What is the best thing you have learned?" Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Tatsadu manye suravarya dehinam siddhasa mudvigna dhyam asadgrahat hitvatma patam grihamanda kupam vanam gato yadharim ashrayeta." Prahlad Maharaj replied, "O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." When Hiranyakashipu heard this, he began to laugh, thinking, "What kind of crazy things is my child saying? He's very young. I cannot take him very serious." He told Shanda and Amarka, "You take him back to school and you somehow by these polluted words of devotional service. Somehow or other he has been influenced and contaminated by our enemies. So take him and teach him." He So Shanda and Amarka, they took Prahlad. And they asked him, Prahlad, where is it that you've learned this crazy knowledge? We have never taught you. Throughout your life, you have never left the palace of your father. Where did you hear this? Please tell us. Prahlad replied, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created the distinctions of my friend and my enemy. By deluding intelligent men, indeed, I am now actually experiencing this, although I have previously heard of it from authoritative sources. Prahlad Maharaj began to explain to Shanda and Amarka that their whole system of education was utterly useless, worthless. They were simply teaching how to exploit others for sense gratification of this body, which is ultimately doomed to death and destruction. Therefore, he explained to his teachers that you should simply take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship him. So Shanda and Amarka became very furious, and they picked up a stick and they threatened to beat him. And they threatened him with so many harsh words. And then they took him back into class. Prahlad was always very humble, very respectful to every living entity. So in this way, after a long time of being educated in Hiranyakashipu's school, Shanda and Amarka thought that now he is well-groomed, just as his father wants him. Let us present this great jewel of our Gurukul to Hiranyakashipu. So after being decorated and bathed by his mother, he was brought before his father. Hiranyakashipu asked, First Hiranyakashipu, upon seeing his son and hearing the good news of what a wonderful student he had become, when he saw Prahlad, the natural parental affection within his heart caused tears to his eyes. Even the greatest demons are attached to their family members, if their family members provide them sense gratification. He took Prahlad on his lap, affectionately began to embrace him with both of his arms, and with a heart laden with this affection, he asked Prahlad, what is the best subject that you have learned in your school? And Prahlad, with a transcendental smile on his face, turned toward his father, and he spoke. One of the greatest and most famous of all verses in all the Vedic literature. Shravanam kirtanam vishno smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam iti pumsharpitha vishno bhaktischenavalakshana kriyetha bhagavatyadha tanmanyedhitam uttamam. Prahlad said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is explaining the path of bhakti, in which all of the great acharyas have followed. These 9 processes of devotional service is the basis of spiritual life. It is described by Maharaj Parikshit, by Shukadeva Goswami, that by perfecting any one, any two, or all nine of these processes, one will attain the supreme perfection of life. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Of the processes of devotional service, the beginning is hearing, Prahlad Maharaj describes. Spiritual life can only begin when we hear submissively. From submissive hearing, the basic foundation of our spiritual growth is established. Without hearing from an authoritative source with a humble heart, no one can possibly engage in any of the other eight processes of devotional service. And Prahlad, by his own example, who is the perfection of the process of smaranam, or remembering, where did he get his information to remember? By hearing from Śrīla Nārada Muni. While living within the womb of his mother, he was hearing. So therefore, it is the paramount importance for all of our spiritual growth to hear the glories of the Lord in the association of the devotees. But what type of hearing? Prahlad did not hear from a professional Bhagavat reciter. He did not hear from someone who was entertaining masses of people with so many stories. It is described by Prahlad Maharaj that his teacher, Shanda and Amarka, at the most, in the name of religion, they were teaching Artha, Kama, Dhamma, Moksha. Which means they were learning how to approach God for economic development, for sense gratification, to learn how to be pious and charitable, religious in that way, and for liberation. But Prahlad Maharaj explained that we must kick these things out. You must hear from a person who is presenting surrender to the Supreme Lord, pure unalloyed devotion. This must be the conclusion and the message. Therefore, we find that oftentimes people teach the scriptures and they become very famous, very popular, because they sing nicely and they talk nicely. But unless they teach pure unalloyed devotion, unless they teach how to chant the holy name of God and surrender unto his lotus feet, as Prahlad is teaching here, and giving up attachment to this body and all things in relationship to this body, then such hearing cannot bring the fruit of pure devotional service. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj explains that one must hear from a bona fide spiritual master who is coming in a disciplic succession of great souls who are teaching unadulterated devotion to the Lord. And one must hear in the association of those persons who are also sincerely striving for that purpose. So coming to the pravachan, or coming to the discourses, we should not come to be entertained. We should not come because it's enjoyable. We should come to become purified. You can go to a cinema to be entertained and enjoy. It is an austerity, and we should take it as such to fix our mind with a submissive heart on the message of Godhead. And what the great souls teach us is that we should always chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. We chant by bhajan, we chant by kirtan, we chant when we perform japa, but we also chant when we are preaching. When we are teaching another, Shukadev Goswami was engaged in pure kirtan by simply narrating the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we find Prahlad Maharaj. First he heard submissively from Srila Narada Muni, his Guru Maharaj. And then it explains he was constantly engrossed in chanting the names and glories of the Lord. And even before his father, he was preaching the glories. And therefore smaranam. Because of this, he was constantly engaged in the remembrance of the Lord. So these nine processes of devotional service must be learned very, very carefully by the expert devotees of the Lord, and learn how to apply these processes to our daily life. It is explained that Maharaj Parikshit perfected his life simply by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shukadev Goswami perfected his life simply by kirtanam, by chanting the glories of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj perfected his life simply by always remembering the Lord. Lakshmi Devi, she perfected her life, or she exhibited the perfection of life, by always engaging in the personal service of the Lord. Hanumanji showed the perfection of life and attained that position by always serving the order of the Lord. Maharaj Prithu, he showed how to perfect his life by offering puja, by worshipping the deity of the Lord. Akrura, simply by offering prayers to the Lord, he attained perfection. Arjuna, by becoming the friend of the Lord, and Bali Maharaj, by surrendering everything. So in this verse by Prahlad Maharaj, we have the very essence of the path of pure Krishna consciousness. It is explained in the Bhagavatam, Atha pumbir vijasreshtash varna shrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharamasya samsudhir hari oshuna. Whatever we do, we must do it for the pleasure of Krishna. And these nine processes of devotional service described by Prahlad teach us very practically how each and every one of us can 24 hours a day be engaged in pleasing the Lord in pure devotional service. And then Prahlad Maharaj continued in his discussion with his father. Because of their uncontrolled senses, Matirna Krishne Parathashvato Va Mitho Bibidyet Grihavradhanam Adanda Gobiravashatam Tamishram Puna Punash Charvata Charvananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that trying to make spiritual advancement while maintaining your material attachments is like trying to row a boat across a river while keeping the anchor at the bottom. No matter how much you engage in spiritual activities, if you are not willing to make an effort to detach yourself from bad association and attach yourself from sinful activities and attach yourself from materialistic affections, you cannot progress by any means. Prahlad Maharaj explains here that the people who are attached to this world, as far as I am concerned, they are simply chewing the chewed. The pleasures of the senses are available for the dogs and the hogs. We've gone through so many millions of births to attain this human form of life, which is the opportunity for self-realization. And Prahlad explains, and you are still trying to chew the same things that you are eating through all the animal species of life, the pleasures of the senses. Nathe vidu swarat gatim hi vishnum durasya ye bahirartha manina andayatandhai upaniyamanas te bhishyatantriyam urudham nibadha. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life, who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects, cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men led by another materially attached man are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. Here Prahlad Maharaj is telling quite openly to his father that as long as he is attached to the sense objects, he will have to suffer birth after birth after birth. And if a blind man follows another blind man, he falls into the ditch. He's coming right out and saying, my dear father, you are blind, you are ignorant, you are a fool and a rascal. You are so much attached to your family life and your sense gratification that you're hithatmivitham grihamandakupam, you are in the bottom of a dark, deep well. And if you expect me to follow you, forget it. My dear father, what should you do? What should such a person in your horrible, disgusting, and abominable condition do, my dear father? I will tell you. Naishamatishtavarurukrakrangrim. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. Unless we gain the favor of the Lord's devotees, Prahlad Maharaj explains, you cannot approach Krishna's lotus feet. Prahlad says that you should smear on every part of your body the dust from the feet of a Vaishnava. What does this mean? Is spiritual life so cheap that you just get some dust and smear it on your body? Smearing the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava upon one's body is an expression which indicates that we must completely humble ourselves and submit ourselves before the great souls. Because the feet are the bottommost part of the body. Therefore, we should consider ourselves lower than the dust from his feet. And we should consider the dust from his feet so sacred. But that dust is the symbol of his mercy. And to receive that mercy means, at the beginning, to be submissive, to be obedient, and to follow the instructions as our life and soul. Vyavashayatmaka buddhir ekeha kuru nandana. We must make the order of Gurudev our life and soul. To accept the order of Gurudev as our life and soul and to execute those orders with all humility in every circumstance of life. Humility in every circumstance of life, that is what is meant by rubbing the dust from his feet on every part of our body. So Prahlad Maharaj, in so many words, is telling Hiranyakashipu that you should approach a bona fide spiritual master who is contaminated from any selfish desires, who is always glorifying Lord Vishnu. You should surrender yourself to his lotus feet and humbly serve his order. This is the only hope of approaching the Lord, and only in this way you will find peace and freedom from suffering, O best of the demons. When Hiranyakashipu heard this, he became outraged. It is described that he began hissing like a snake that had just been trampled on. Hiranyakashipu. He could not control his senses. He began to blaspheme Prahlad with so many harsh words that, Prahlad, you are the destroyer of your own dynasty. You have taken shelter of the enemy. If a person has a disease in his body, that diseased limb should be cut off, because better to cut it off than let it infect the rest of the body and destroy it. So although you are my own son, because you are diseased by devotion to God, you must be killed. Hiranyakashipu was very much afraid of Prahlad, because he knew if Prahlad's philosophy spread throughout his kingdom, Hiranyakashipu would have no support. He would lose all of his sense gratification. We find throughout the ages that the demoniac class of men, those who are too much attached to material sense enjoyment, they always consider the pure preachers of Krishna consciousness to be their enemies. And throughout the ages, we find that such asuras always do everything within their power to destroy, to kill the mission of the Lord and his devotees. So Hiranyakashipu ordered the Rakshasas, kill him, destroy him. So the Rakshasas took Prahlad. And first they took sharpened tridents, spears, and swords. And with horribly gross language, they were crying out, chop him, pierce him, cut him. And they attacked him and began to pierce and stab his body with all of their weapons. Prahlad Maharaj, with a calm and peaceful mind, simply sat and remembered Lord Vishnu. not caring for life or death, not caring for pleasure or pain, but simply trying to please the Lord by remembering Him and chanting His holy name. To the great wonder of the Rakshasas, all of their attacks did not even leave hardly a scar on Prahlad's body. When Hiranyakashipu saw this, he became further infuriated with anger, and also more and more fearful. Take him from the top of a mountain and throw him to the bottom. But still, Prahlad could not be killed. Hiranyakashipu arranged for a gigantic elephant to trample him on his, with his feet. He threw him in raging fire. He exposed him to cyclonic winds. He tried submerging him and drowning him in the sea. He tried to crush him with huge, huge boulders of stone. He threw him into burning, boiling pots of oil. He fed him the most dangerous, dangerous poison to eat. Prahlad could not be killed. Hiranyakashipu, with all of his forces and all of his intelligence, he used every possible means to kill him. And Prahlad, who was only a harmless 5-year-old child, simply remained chanting the holy names and thinking of the Lord. Hiranyakashipu became very frustrated. He lost all of his luster. He did not know what to do and what not to do. Boy, he is more powerful than me. If he is not destroyed, I will be destroyed. What am I to do? And then Shanda and Amarka, they approached him. Said, Hiranyakashipu, why do you take this child so seriously? After all, he's only 5 years old. Let us take him back to our school. After a little time, surely he will be all right. So Hiranyakashipu said, yes, yes, very good. We take him back to school. And when Prahlad went back to the school of Shanda and Amarka, again, externally he behaved like a very nice, respectful student. But as soon as the teachers would leave the room, Prahlad would begin to preach to his classmates. He explained to them my dear friends, Komaramacharit Paragyo, that this is the time when you are very young that you should engage in devotional service. The great illusion of this world is that we think, when I become much older, then I will take spiritual life seriously. Now I have so many responsibilities and I should enjoy. Prahlad explained that this human life is meant for self-realization and the time is now. You do not know whether tomorrow will come. Don't waste your life. Prahlad explained to his friends, at the most one lives in this world is 100 years. And of that 100 years, the average materialistic person sleeps practically 12 hours a day. That means half of his life, 50 years, is wasted in sleep. And when you're a baby child, he explains, the first 10 years of your life You don't really know what's going on. Then you just start to play, and you start playing and playing and playing, and you spend the first 2 years either in complete illusion or just in games and sports and play. This way, 50, 60 years of your life is wasted. And then the next 10 years, you're usually so engrossed in mundane studies that 70 years of your life is wasted. And when you're an old man, an invalid, for those last 20 years, your senses are so much just aged and incapable that 90 years of your life are wasted. And when you're living in the Grihastha ashram during the prime 10 years of your life, practically the whole time you're just trying to maintain your family, enjoy sex life, and just become completely attached and infatuated by wife, children, wealth, possessions. In this way, 100 years, your whole life is wasted. Now is the time to take to self-realization. Trying to enjoy sense enjoyment is crazy, Prahlad said. You can never satisfy your desire for pleasure. Just like scratching an itch. The more you scratch, the more it itches. Prahlad Maharaj explains that there is no greater than itch than the itch for sex pleasure. He said, as far as I am concerned, sex life is simply rubbing your hands together, getting some little friction. And people engross their consciousness in such foolishness. Therefore, Prahlad says to his children, what person too attached to household life, due to being unable to control his senses, can liberate himself? An attached householder is bound very strongly by ropes of affection for his family, wife, children, and other relatives. Money is so dear that one conceives of money as being sweeter than honey. Therefore, who could give up the desire to accumulate money, especially in household life? Thieves, professional servants, soldiers, merchants try to acquire money even by risking their own lives. One who is too attached cannot understand that he is wasting his valuable life for the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of life, a life suitable for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he is very cleverly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. Although an attached person in material existence always suffers from threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence. A person too attached to the duties of family maintenance is unable to control his senses. The core of his heart is immersed in how to accumulate money. Although he knows that one who takes the wealth of others will be punished by the laws of the government and by the laws of Yamaraj after death, he continues cheating others to acquire money. How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart, being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear, and their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father, and while living at her husband's house, she is always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items of household furniture, and there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder is like a silkworm, which weaves a cocoon in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out, simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue. One is bound by material conditions. How can one escape? It is very interesting how Prahlad Maharaj is explaining that the greatest obstacle in spiritual realization is too much attachment to family life. But Prahlad Maharaj got married sometime later, of course. He took wife. He had children. He had a son named Virochan. And of course, his grandson was Bali Maharaj, who was another of the great Mahajans. So you see, there is nothing that Prahlad is saying is wrong with having family life. But what he is condemning in so many words is materialistic family life, where Krishna is not the center, where service to Krishna is not the purpose. Prahlad Maharaj condemned religious life in which we're pious, we're religious, we perform our puja, but we are still attached to the physical pleasures of this arrangement and the mental and social pleasures of this arrangement. Family life for social sense gratification, for recognition, for prestige, is maya. This is the word of Prahlad. And yet, 99.9% of spiritual teachers in every religion in the world is teaching that these things are very good and all right. Just believe in God. Just perform your puja. Prahlad Maharaj says, do all the puja for the rest of millions and millions of creations. If you do not strive to give up your desire for prestige and family affection based on material enjoyment, you'll never understand God. Ever. But we find that of the Mahajans, the greatest authorities of spirituality, most of them are grihasthas. Brahma is a grihastha. Shiva is a grihastha. Shukadeva Goswami is a sannyasi. Prahlad was a grihastha. Bhishma was a brahmachari. Swayambhuva Manu was a grihastha. King Janak was a grihastha. Bali Maharaj was a grihastha. That is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Grihe tako vane takao sada hari bole tako. It is not a question of taking sannyas, and it is not a question of becoming a grihastha. It is a question of making our goal in life the service of the Lord. There is only one purpose of marriage as far as God is concerned. And that is, the man and the wife agree that I am not yours and you are not mine. We both belong to Krishna. And rather than exploit one another, we will harmoniously work together for Krishna's service, for Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna's glory. Marriage within caste is very good, as long as the marriage is for this purpose. But caste marriages in themselves, without pure devotional service as the singular purpose of the marriage, according to Prahlad, not according to me, according to Prahlad, is nothing but Maya. To raise children to love God is the greatest service to the Lord. To make money, to utilize for the purpose of glorifying God and helping the poor, unfortunate person to come closer to God, that is the perfection of life. Prahlad Maharaj was king. He was taxing his citizens. So was Yudhisthira. So was Parikshit. So was Krishna in Dwarka. So Prahlad Maharaj is not condemning the sacred principle of Grihastha Ashram. But he knows that most of the population will be Grihasthas. Therefore, by his words and his example, he is teaching you, if you want to make spiritual advancement, you have to be very serious. You have to take the dust of the great souls and smear it all over your body and be their humble servants and dedicate your family, your body, your home, your wealth, your everything in their loving service. This is the path of Prahlad Maharaj. He's explaining this to his little 5-year-old friends. And Prahlad so wonderfully explained that you are looking for happiness, but as long as you're looking for happiness, you have to suffer. Prahlad Maharaj explained, if you want to be happy in this world, just stop looking for happiness in this world and there'll be no more suffering. But your senses are active, they are dynamic. Because the soul is eternal, Prahlad says. You are that eternal soul. Simply dovetail your natural propensities in the glorification of Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Always engage in His devotional service. Always chant His holy name. Always seek out the service and the association of His devotees, my dear friends. And in this way you will attain the supreme perfection of self-realization. And with these words, Prahlad began to teach them how to chant the holy names, and his friends were dancing and chanting in kirtan, and they all became pure Vaishnavas. And when Chanda and Amarka came into the room and saw that all of the children were polluted by pure devotional service, they were all completely surrendered at the lotus feet of the Lord. They became furious. They realized that it's hopeless. There's nothing we can do this child. So they brought him back to Hiranyakashipu. And what happened when he was brought back to Hiranyakashipu? That we will discuss this evening. Well, at this time, we will have a short kirtan, then we will have prasad. And for those who would like to help about what Prahlad Maharaj could have been in his previous birth. This is a wonderful story which describes the potency of devotional service. Of course, we can understand that Prahlad Maharaj is a Nitya Siddha. He is not an ordinary living being. But the Lord uses His devotees to reveal certain very, very essential messages to all of humanity. Prahlad was born in his previous birth in a very low family. And one day, this young man decided that he wanted to enjoy with a woman. But it was against social acceptance, so he had to find a very secret place So he went into the forest. And there was an abandoned temple. No one had utilized this temple for many, many years. But it happened to be a temple of Lord Narsinghadev. And it was very dirty and untended. So Prahlad was thinking that in order to enjoy this evening, I should make it nice and clean. So he perfectly cleaned the whole temple. And it just so happened that that day was Narasingha Chaturdasi, the appearance day of Lord Narasingadev. So on a holy day, he rendered service without even knowing to Lord Narahari. Personal service. And then he brought his lady friend there, and they enjoyed. But because of the service he rendered at an auspicious time, in a holy place, he became a devotee. He became very dear to Lord Narasinghadev. He became a great devotee in that life. And then, later, the soul was transported into the womb of the wife of Hiranyakashipu, where he was given transcendental knowledge by Narada Muni. You see, Krishna is not concerned with whether we are Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or Sudras, or untouchables. After all, Prahlad was just an uneducated man from a low family. But by rendering this service to the Lord directed Narada Muni to give him transcendental knowledge. It is said, by the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna. This is the perfect example of this. Because he unknowingly rendered service and pleased Lord Narasinghadev. Lord Narasinghadev, by his mercy, gave Narada Muni. And by hearing the words of Narada Muni, Prahlad became the supreme of all bhaktas. Krishna is only concerned with our humility and our devotion. Whether you are an untouchable, a rakshasa, or a brahman, Krishna does not care. He's only concerned with your humility and your devotion. He is not concerned with your scholarship. He is not concerned with your study of the Vedas. He is not concerned with your tapasya. Hiranyakashipu performed the greatest tapasya. Shanda and Amarka were from Brahmin families, but they were rascals. Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad, was a 5-year-old little rakshasa by birth. But he had one quality: humble devotion. And therefore, he approached the Lord and pleased the Lord in every respect. So none of us are in a hopeless condition. Try to understand the power and the glory of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada used to say, the miracle of devotional service. By chanting the holy name, by hearing the glories of the Lord, by worship, by bowing your head at the lotus feet of the Lord, the miracle of Krishna comes into your life. And that miracle can liberate even the most fallen, even the most envious. So let us invite this miracle into our lives by humbly chanting the holy names, by associating with the devotees of the Lord, and by sincerely trying to follow these most glorious teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Everyone, please rise.